Welcome back to first episode of the second season of Risky Business. Ando, yep. Pretty stoked to be back.
Yeah, very happy indeed.
I've been missing it, I've got to say. Mm-hmm. Just that kind of, Anyway, before we get into that, let me kick you off with a quote.
Yep, I'm ready.
What do you think about this? Don't let not knowing what you're doing stop you from getting started.
Okay, I can link to that straight away. Not pre-prepared.
You were feeling like that right now?
Yeah. No, I am feeling like that right now. I'm excited that there's something that I want to bring in. I've done the reading, and now it's just like, oh, how do I take that first step to actually put it into practice within the classroom? And so, I'm feeling that right now.
Yeah, nice. Well, I mean, that's our theme for this episode. It's the beginning of the school year. It's our back-to-school special. You know, we want to set some goals of what it is we're trying to achieve, how we're going to innovate, how we're going to take risks this year, out and do it, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, and then we've got a couple of fantastic guests to boot as well. One of them, James, and he's here with us at school, and he's the CAS and the SA coordinator. I'm not entirely sure what those acronyms mean, but I bet they're good. And he's also MYP English. I know that one, Middle Years Program English. And then Francis as well.
Yeah, also we got Francis Morton coming in, who's also just joined NISC. And she's come in, hit the ground running as the head of secondary school. And she's doing a great job. So it'd be really awesome to hear from both of those guys and what their kind of plans to innovate are for this year.
Yeah, really excited to hear from both of them. And they seem like awesome people. Yeah, nice.
How'd your holidays go?
Oh, they were fantastic. I'm not going to lie. The perfect balance between getting out and traveling and then getting back in time to just enjoy your own space and not be traveling and, get ready for the new year. You?
Yeah, pretty good too. I think we left listeners with you were saying, telling them all about how you're going to Italy and going to just gorge on amazing food. Let's hear the best bits, worst bits.
Yeah, cool.
Go ahead.
Best bits for me, weirdly, it was road tripping with the family.
Yeah, nice.
So we got a little rental car from one spot and did day trips out, and it was just remembering the younger days in the car and when the kids fall asleep as well. It was just primo. It was just peace and quiet, which was a double win.
Not too many are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Yeah, nah. They were amazing on that whole trip actually. And and then getting to the coast and have some delicious food and then head back to our base and perfect.
Yeah, nice. Really. Any worst bits?
Worst bits, yes, there was. New Zealand losing the World Cup final in horrific fashion. But it was an amazing game, but it was just a little bit heartbreaking too.
Yeah, that was intense. Mm-hmm. Crazy finish.
Yeah.
Nice, cool. I also had some good holidays. Didn't get away to Italy though, unfortunately. Just stuck here in Cambodia.
Yeah.
But it was pretty good. My best bits, I was pretty stoked. Something you've done plenty of over the years, but I've just sort of dipped my toes in. Mm-hmm. Did the first half marathon in the holidays, and that was it was pretty good. It was very rewarding.
Yeah, man, that's super impressive. Getting out there, getting yourself fit, and then having to go at a big distance is satisfying personally, and it's great to see other people do it.
I loved it. I'm hooked.
Nice.
Worst bits was the ridiculous efforts that I had at trying to clean the house, spring cleaning, where we would just pull everything out of the house and pile it up somewhere and then not know what to do with it and just basically leave it there, and it's there until now, and we've started back at school. So that was just a pathetic effort.
You've just got to get away, so you've just run out of time again. I can't get around
off to school, honey, sorry. Let's see what happens on the weekend. No, did not get through that at all.
Okay, so Jack, I've seen you absolutely steaming around the school, a glint in your eye. You're super motivated. Can we hear what's got you going or what you're excited about this year?
Yeah. Love coming back to school with enthusiasm and cool plans, things to try out. Yep. Really excited. We've done plenty of renovations in the makerspace, and the kids have been loving it. We put in some new furniture. All kinds of things just to get kids excited. And, you know, they're flocking to it at lunchtime and after school, which is awesome.
Yep. Not just the kids, though. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone's excited. It's looking sharp and looking forward to getting our kids in here.
Yeah, I'm loving that. Mm. Also was lucky enough in the holidays to do a bit of professional development and rub shoulders with some really great teachers around North Anglia, out at MIT, yep. With our STEAM collaboration and the yearly annual PD that we do yep. out at MIT, and just getting some good ideas from people. And something I really want to implement, that people out there have done some really good things with this, but in the makerspace, there are a lot of skills, like technical skills, that the kids have got to learn. Yep. And so I'm just looking into ways of sort of documenting their progress on that, and, you know, maybe earning some kind of like a badge or an achievement.
Yeah.
If they can do a particular skill, if they know how to 3D print now, they become like, you know, the 3D print master or something like that, and they earn a little token or something, you know, to just validate all the skills that they're learning, and also maybe to be able to set out, you know, when we talk about, you know, what do kids get from STEAM? What do they yeah. get from the makerspace? Well, here are the things that they're going to get from it, and, you know, and spell those out. So, yeah, and I know there's really good things out there, but any listeners that have tried something like that, you know, let me know, because, you know, I'm looking for ideas.
Yeah, that's really cool. When I've talked to you before about Hills and the work that I did with her, and how she is a bit of an inspiration for me
moving
forward. Something that we tried with the younger ones was the learner license, which is the same sort of thinking, and yep. it actually links in with what I'm going to try this year with the solo taxonomy. And we went through and created like a leveled learner's chart, so kids could highlight where they were at and then show the evidence, and then with that came more responsibility, so they could work anywhere in the classroom that they wanted
nice.
To. And yeah, it was really motivating, really busy, because you're constantly having to support the kids with finding the evidence of that. But yeah,
yep.
That sounds super exciting.
I like the license idea, because you know, I was thinking, you know, maybe if they've earned that achievement or that skill, then, you know, they have the license to be able to use that tool, or,
yeah.
you know, independently be able to work on projects that involve that or something like that.
And that might streamline your life a little bit as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The logistics of managing each kid and knowing whether they're safely using things or not is a big part of it. So now, over in grade 5, you guys are doing some pretty groundbreaking stuff as well, and just really shaking things up. Well, it's true, right? And people are going to be watching, you know, what you do, because hopefully it works out and there's a model for other grade levels. So what kind of things are you guys trying out?
It's working with a fantastic team this year, and there's a nice balance of us being open-minded to everyone's ideas, but also different people driving different ideas. So we're really getting a nice we've all got the same vision, but we've got a nice mix in there, and it's not just all someone trying to take control, which is, something you need. But some of the things we're trying to open our doors more and have a whole grade 5, which is 54 students.
Bit of team teaching kind of aspect?
Yeah, a bit of team teaching, so we can hone in on the students who really need the support and the scaffolding, and can opens up avenues for small group teaching and things. But also we're trying to make each person's room have like a responsibility, I guess. And so there's the full classroom, the full grade library, which is a more collaborative space as it's ended up. We've got my class, which we're trying to bring a mini makerspace into, which is exciting.
Very cool.
And then there's another class as well, which is going to be our podcasting room and green screen room. And so we are shaking things up, and it's exciting, but that comes with its challenges as well, which we're working through as a nice functioning team, which is cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think something I've, you know, sometimes think about is like in giving students that kind of freedom, there is also the responsibility that comes with it. So, okay, you've got the now the right to choose where you want to be learning and how you want to operate, but you have to use that responsibility wisely and, you know, kind of putting that onto their shoulders. I don't know. It could be challenging, but it could pay off, you know.
Today was a day it was challenging.
Okay.
But it's one of those moments where you get challenged, and I had 3/4 of a frustrating day, and then I managed to shift my mindset to being like, well, this isn't, I need to get to know our kids better and to set some more like guidelines for them to be able to use the areas in the way that I wanted them to be using them. And it actually worked out really well, like just me having a more positive mindset with the relationships and trying to find out more about them. But yeah, it really helped me out, which was nice.
And something we talked about during the week is that you were saying you felt like at the moment you've got a team that is quite settled in NISC. They've been either at NISC for a few years or they've been in the role for a few years. And in the past, it's kind of, you've had new teachers to the role and you haven't, they haven't, you know, need more of a consolidation year before you get into that. But what do you think, like, is that, you know, in terms of just being, getting comfortable and whatever, how far does that, or how important is that before you kind of launch into some kind of big risks, big innovations and stuff like that?
Like, I think I got to the realization last night when I was sort of thinking about it, that the things that we're getting to now are the things that I had started doing maybe 4 years ago.
Yep.
And then I arrived here and it was just like, it was too much for me to sort of start pushing forward these ideas. And then when I started to feel comfortable, I feel like it's the people around you. Like you need that connection, you need that trust, and you need people to be wanting to try and innovate in similar ways. And I think that this year that those things have fallen into place. And that's not to say that I haven't enjoyed teaching with all the other great people I've taught with. It's just you need similar minded people to be on board with the vision and to be ready to push things forward together.
Oh, that's awesome. And it is such a great team in grade five. That's exciting stuff. Awesome. Should we take a quick little break?
Yeah, I think we must.
And yeah, fantastic.
Okay, so today we have a couple of guests, and we're going to throw over to our first guest, and that's James G. Lombardo. And when I saw that written down, it's my favorite last name on staff. I'm sorry, Coops, but it is.
You're still missing Italy. I'm feeling like that's the thing. All right, cool. Well, Leah, let's hear from James, our CAS and SA coordinator and MYP English teacher at NISC.
Nice. So this year we're lucky enough to have our first guest in the studio, and this is a man who I've heard rumours abound about cycling the main streets of Phnom Penh, running the streets of Phnom Penh, playing a bit of football as well. And that's James. Welcome along, buddy.
Hello, thanks for having me today.
Yeah, no problem. We're going to chuck a couple of beginning of the year questions at you, which I'm excited about kicking off, because something I'm interested in is the idea of the 21st century skills in an English classroom, because it's something that I sort of want to improve at doing within the literacy to engage your students and I guess make it a bit deeper.
So well, basically I came from a school in Phnom Penh. I've been working there for 4 years, and it was quite a traditional setting. You know, we had sort of rows of tables, and we didn't have as many technological resources as we have at Northbridge. So I'm really excited about, you know, starting here as well. And I think, you know, the first sort of thing which jumps out at me in the English classroom and making it 21st century is, you know, the collaborative approach. And I think, you know, having gone from a school which has sort of rows of table and just having students sitting together, grouped together, working together on you know, different tasks, real life tasks, is something which they're going to be doing a lot in the future. Of course, also having also come from a traditional classroom setting, they all of my previous students were Khmer, and they came from a very similar demographic as well. So I'm looking forward to working with students who are, you know, with different interests, different backgrounds, different ideas and perspectives. Because I think what we'll see is I can bring together those different ideas, and then by solving, you know, tasks which with real life importance, I think that is going to reflect some of the things that they're going to be doing a lot of in the future. And I think, you know, as well as the 21st century approach, I think the IB learner profile as well sort of taps in a lot, you know, with what we're going to try and do in the classroom, you know, making sure that the students are caring, taking risks within the classroom as well, being brave to practice their English skills, develop their English skills and apply them in different projects. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's an interesting one about the developing the bravery to take on those English skills. Because sometimes I get the feeling in my class that there's a little bit of holding back at times and not quite ready to put themselves completely out there. So that's an interesting little comment there.
It's a gradual process, and especially at the start of the year, you know, I'm new, and, you know, this year there are many new students too. So we have to, you know, recognise and understand that, you know, it could be a bit of a slow start, but that you know, that's where you have to persevere. And you have to kind of take a bit of understanding of, you know, the situation and the sort of nerves that they might feel. And then you sort of gradually build toward, you know, build that up step by step.
Yeah.
Nice. So, James, you've got the CAS role. So for those that are outside of the IB, that's the Creativity, Action and Service. But along with that is for the middle years, Services, Action.
Yeah.
And so all about getting kids involved in meaningful service opportunities. Aside from like looking good on a university application, that kind of thing, what do you see as the kind of real takeaways that kids get out of that, and what you're kind of hoping to build up to with that?
Well, I think one of the great things about CAS and SA is that, you know, it's not scored per se. You know, you're not given a score, you're not given a grade. And I think that's quite a nice outlet for students to explore different sides of themselves. You know, it's not graded, it's not scored. So this is, again, where they can perhaps take a few chances in some areas which they don't always explore. So I'm really looking forward to seeing students. Of course, you know, there are going to be students who have got a passion for sport, and they're going to maybe run some sports clubs for the lower years. And that's absolutely fantastic. That's great. But I'm also looking forward to seeing some students perhaps explore some different opportunities. And that's what I'm really looking forward to seeing. I'm looking forward to seeing students challenge themselves and, of course, give back to the school, give back to the young years and give back to the community. Because I think having been in Cambodia for 4 years, there are needs within communities. And I think at Northbridge we're in a very privileged position. And I want to see, and I think I will see, students recognise their responsibility not only within the school but also in the community too, to give back and to continue the growth and development of Cambodia.
I know you're a week into the role, and maybe Jack, you might have a bit of an idea about this. How hard is it is it hard at all to motivate students to get on board with sort of the service aspect of our education?
I as you say, I've only been here for a week, but I'm already getting the sense that it might be, you know, the IB is demanding. The students also have extracurricular activities outside of school. You know, they also need their downtime as well. And the point of CAS and SA is that it is extracurricular. So yes, I think it will be a challenge to get students completely on board. Not all, but some. Yeah. And actually, it was interesting. Yesterday, I was at lunch, and one of the new grade 11s who was going to start a project, he basically started saying to me, "Hi, my name is I'm new to grade 11, so I have to start a cast project, but I don't want to. And that's kind of and that's kind of the direction.
That's the spirit.
Yeah. So that's kind of and I can understand that, and I can recognize that that may be the feeling of a number of students, and you know, and that's fine. But what I'd like to do is to really demonstrate and to show them the worth and you know, the reward, the personal reward that you know, the service element especially might bring to them.
Yeah.
You mentioned before, even in your English class, about wanting to connect them to like real world context, and I think CAS is great with that, in that it gives them a taste of like the power that they do have to actually do something meaningful in the world, and to see kind of real results other than, you know, schoolwork, which to a lot of kids they feel like it might be meaningless or whatever. So in terms of like giving meaning to their learning, I think that's really powerful, and that kind of thing. Okay, you got to first give them the taste for it, but once they get on a roll and start like, oh, that project, geez, it, you know, geez, I actually made a difference, and that made me feel powerful and important. You know, that's what's probably going to motivate them to take it further.
I think you're completely right. As with many things, you know, sometimes getting started is the hardest, and once the momentum, you know, once the ball starts to roll and things start to pick up and you start maybe exploring a few different things, then suddenly you get this incredible, you know, adrenaline almost that you of the amount of different things you're doing, the impact you're making. So I think it's that, you know, at the moment I can imagine there are grade 11 students thinking, oh no, Cass, I don't want to do this. But once they actually start, once they start getting involved and start seeing some results, I think we might see a slight change in mindset.
Yeah, nice. And you've unwittingly connected to our quote that we had at the start of the podcast as well. So you've done an absolutely fantastic job there.
Thank you. Well, you know, I read the lines before the podcast.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, it sounds like you got a big job ahead of you.
Yep.
Plenty of things to figure out, but we really like the way you're planning to go about it, and it's in line with the Risky Business ethos.
So thanks very much for coming along, and I'm sure we'll get an update along the line as well on how it's all going.
Absolutely, thanks for having me.
Thanks. Cheers. James.
All right, welcome back. Always exciting. First interview for the year, and that was a good one. Yeah, really happy with James's work there. Now, Andy, you've been doing some reading and some research, and something sort of caught your eye, something that you want to sort of give a go this year in the school. So tell us all about the solo taxonomy.
Yeah, thanks. This is something that is being encouraged by the new curriculum at our school. And it's exciting, but it's really daunting. But it's just to support the students learn how they learn, and sort of to give teachers a shared understanding and students a shared understanding and vocabulary about their own learning. And it's it looks it seems really exciting because the students can identify where they are right now.
Yep.
And then from that, they can go, well, where do I want to go? And so they can use the solo taxonomy to see where they're going next. But it'll also sort of tell them how to get there as well. So like the skills that they'll need to demonstrate, or the knowledge that they'll need to have and be able to apply to get to the next level.
Yep.
Which when you have the exhibition coming up as well, I think that could be a bit of a game changer for us to have that constantly at the fore, and then they can talk to their families and other students about where they are as learners.
Yeah, I think to me it really makes a lot of sense and matches in with maybe how I would normally learn things, that idea of going from like understanding the basics of it from a simple level and then filling it in rather than kind of thinking about your learning as steps, like at layers on a cake of you start with, okay, I master this, now the next thing, now master that, now the next thing. That's not really how things work, right? Often you kind of, you know how to do things, but you don't really understand why, and then you kind of build on that, and then you connect it. And So to me, that it a lot of it kind of rings true.
Yeah, that's nice. And sometimes we sell the learning to our kids, like the layered cake of, well, here's a learning objective for this lesson, and here's the next one, and here's the next one, and it's not. Yeah, it's this is the bar, and now we're like showing all the different ways in which they can show that understanding, and kids can see what we mean when we want them to have a deeper understanding about mm-hmm. something, and to be able to apply their thinking, and we'll make it really clear, which is which I would have loved if I was a student at school, for sure.
Yeah, and actually, just as you're saying that, it made me think of it might change the way as a teacher you think about progress. Like, there's always kind of a bit of a hesitation to go over something again, because you know you got to move on to the next thing. But actually, thinking about it from the solo perspective is, you know, deepening and enriching that knowledge, and you know, you can revisit those same topics because you're building a deeper understanding. It's not just about learning something else and adding to your pile. Yeah. It's about making it stronger.
Yeah, and then hopefully, like, as we talk more about assessment in the upcoming episodes, then hopefully, like, we can think more about what are the skills as well that we want, and how's that all going to fit in there as well. So it's not, we don't want it just to be content-based.
Yeah, outstanding. Mm. All right, cool. Well, we've got another guest about to pop in as well.
Yep.
Who we got coming in?
We got Frances Morden. She's the head of secondary here at Northbridge, and quite excited about this interview because I've got a couple of questions that I want to try and get some answers to
some hard questions.
Nice.
That's all right, cool. All right, let's get stuck into it.
Cool. Okay, and so here we are with our second guest of the day, which is the first time that we've done this, so very exciting. I'm going to introduce the wonderful person, and that is someone who has already made me laugh quite a few times. So you're a funny person, but no pressure today. And more importantly, you have a spiritual home of New Zealand, and that is... That warms the cockles of the heart. So welcome, Frances. We're really happy to have you here.
Oh, good. It's great to be here.
Nice. So something that I'm really interested in is you're coming into a new position within the school. You've got a lot of experience, and we're all about innovation and encouraging each other and people around us to take risks. And I'd just love to hear your thoughts on... How you can do that, how you can encourage people to take risks when, like, as bosses, people might be quite like, oh, but what if I don't get it right? So do you have any thoughts on that?
I do, actually. So for me, I think when I think about taking a risk, I often think about making mistakes. Mm-hmm. And we encourage the children to make mistakes. It's okay for them to make mistakes. But as we get older, it's kind of frowned upon, perhaps, that we're making mistakes. So I think in terms of the school culture, and especially with the staff, it would be great for us to create an environment where risk-taking is seen as a positive thing, and actually to celebrate the fact that they've given it a go. So if they make the mistake, we actually celebrate that as well, and we learn from it. I think positive opportunities to celebrate things like that will make sure that they'll do it again, that they will take the risk again. Also, for me, I think I am a risk taker, I would say. So I think it's important to model that. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for us to show staff that we take risks as well. But we take smart risks. We don't take risks that are going to jeopardize the school or the environment. Yeah. So they need to be thought out and they need to be smart decisions.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, and I think I definitely notice this with students, but I'm sure it's true for teachers as well. When you think of, like, what is a high stakes risk, often what you think is a high stakes risk, like going at it, in retrospect, doesn't actually look that high stakes. Like things that kids might be really worried about,
sure,
actually in a week's time, they wouldn't, you know, if they reflect on it in the right way. And so,
absolutely. And I think as well, we're all kind of nervous about what we don't know. And actually, it wouldn't be a risk if you knew what the answer was going to be. So students are more, I suppose, comfortable with taking a risk because they're doing it constantly and they're doing it every day. But as we get older, it becomes much harder to do because we like to know what the outcome's going to be. We like to be really certain that this is going to be okay. But if you don't take risks, then you don't move forward. So it's very, very important, I think, to encourage an environment where risk-taking is seen as something normal.
Yeah, and that, I think coming over that hurdle that you're talking before about, like, how heavy those mistakes weigh down on us. And, like, as you get older, you sort of, I don't know why, but at times you can fixate on the mistake and, why did I do that? And it's just a part of learning, but we sort of forget that unless it's
true.
Our kids.
And actually, if you didn't make mistakes, then you don't learn.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people make the same mistakes over and over there, so I don't know what that means.
But and also, is there something about the traditional like role of a teacher that you are kind of supposed to be a knower of things and in control
absolutely.
And powerful?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a huge responsibility as well. So maybe for us, it's a we're in a position where it is high stakes, it is people's education, it is their future that we're talking about, and no matter what the age is, it doesn't matter, we do feel this huge sense of responsibility. And so to make a risk that's not something smart, we are putting quite a lot in jeopardy, I think, you know, and there is that sense of, I don't know, importance then to not make mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And it's, I was just thinking as you're talking as well about how that I think that within schools, with the management outside of the classroom, and that sometimes these risks and these innovations are being taken, but they're not always seen. So it's quite nice that earlier you were talking about that idea of making sure that that risk taking is visible, but also is thoughtful.
Yeah, and celebrated.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Acknowledged.
Yeah.
So just extending a little bit, I think a lot of teachers are excited about trying something new at the start of the year, but it's later in the year when it gets harder, right? Like when the work starts to pile up, the pressure piles up, and that's
I'd
where you...
I'd say week two.
Maybe, right.
We're there.
But yeah, once you get into that, that's when you fall into like kind of what you know what and what's easy and what's whatever. So, you know, are there, aside from the things we've talked about, you know, what can we do to kind of... I suppose we've kind of mentioned it, but keeping that forward momentum and, and making sure all through the year people, and even late into the year, people are still willing to innovate.
Absolutely. I think it is important to always keep, I suppose, your goal in mind. And for me, I'm a huge list maker. I love making lists. I'm a post-it person, a post-it queen. And so therefore for me, I think keeping a focus on what's important is really clear for me. And even though sometimes, for example, the list is huge, I have to cross something off it. So I think even though I'm very much aware of the fact that, you know, teachers in particular, they have such a long list of things that they need to do. Being able to focus on the things that are really important and also have a look, and this is something that I've done maybe as I've got older, is whilst I love to make a list of all the things that I have to do, I also now love to make a list of all the things that I've managed to achieve, which I never used to do, but I think it actually keeps my momentum going. So it keeps me motivated to know that I'm still... Actually, I'm very busy. We're all very busy, but actually I'm achieving quite a lot. I think... You know, there are times in the year maybe where we are particularly busy and we do need to keep staff morale in any school going. I think here actually at Northbridge we have some great opportunities to do that. There's always strategically placed social events, for example, for staff, which actually is a fantastic idea, which is there's a reason why they're there and there's a reason why they're in that week and at that place. So I think that having that kind of supported spirit from the school definitely helps keep momentum going.
When you're talking about the when you're talking about the goals as well, one thing that we learned about at the start of the year was this idea that when you are bringing something new, you've got to have that clear vision.
Sure.
And I think that, like, that whole idea of coming back to the goal, coming back to the vision, making sure that, okay, well, this is what I set out to achieve.
Sure.
And making sure that your team, your crew that you're working with keeping
reminded
up with it.
Of it. Yeah, sure. With vision. And actually, there's one of our deputy heads, she's got a huge whiteboard in her office, and at the top of it is the goal that she is looking to achieve this year. So that's another thing, is it's a visible representation of the things that she wants to achieve at the school. So I think we all have to do it in a slightly different way, perhaps, but having a visible representation helps.
Like a learning objective?
Sure. A personal learning objective,
Something else that we just wanted to pick your brains about quickly is just the idea of, if you were to give a piece of advice or a bit of encouragement to all educators out there, or even staff in Northbridge, what would it be?
Oh, a piece of advice.
Sorry, I don't even know if I asked that question.
I know what you mean.
Was that a question?
Oh, yeah, it was. You know, I think it's not an easy job. Mm-hmm. I think working in education isn't something that you do because it's easy. And I think that you have to want to get up every day and do something that makes you happy. If teachers are happy, if I'm happy and teachers are happy, students are happy. When students are happy, they want to learn. And it really is that easy. And creating a happy environment where students want to come to school and want to learn is a perfect environment for them. So my encouragement would be to do something that you love. And if it isn't something that you love, you have to question why. But also something outside of your school, your work, you know, to have a hobby or something that is completely different to what you do on a daily basis to, I don't know, find your little chill.
Yeah. Find your mental space, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Fantastic. Francis, thank you so much for coming in.
Yep.
Oh,
that was excellent. And we're super excited. I think everyone's excited to have you at NISC. And I definitely think you've started off that kind of the right approach there with the being exciting, creating that excitement and want to take risks. So appreciate that.
Thank you very much. It's been great to be here. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks.
Bye. Cheers.
Right, welcome back. That was great to have that conversation.
Yeah,
and
really good.
I've definitely enjoyed that. Now, I just want to go back to the start of the podcast, and we started to find out a little bit about Jacko, the mystery man. He likes running, doesn't like spring cleaning. I'd like to, there's a lot of stuff about you that I really admire and appreciate. You play your cards close to your chest, so I'd like to dig into that a little bit. And would you like to talk about the work that you got planned coming up and outside of our school?
Yeah, okay, cool. So pre-NISC days, I was involved in some volunteer work. So my family's set up a school in Cambodia, in Kampong Tom, so it's free school for kids that wouldn't have access to education. And it was, I loved all the time that I was there, and it is what got me into teaching in the first place, and then sort of carried that on here. Unfortunately, at some point, having to make ends meet for the family, so I had to kind of get a job and stuff. But always sort of loved it, and always been keen to, where I can, still be a part of the school and help out. So something I'm going to be starting up, I'm currently sort of working on, is developing a curriculum for that, for the school.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and so there is a bit of a curriculum in place, but it has been, it has mapped out the concept and the content that the teachers need to deliver, and often we're working with teachers that not highly qualified.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, we're always hiring Cambodian local teachers, right?
Yeah.
So
You know, which is really important too, because the ethos is to support the community as well. Is
exactly.
That right?
Yeah, it's totally about helping Cambodia to solve Cambodia's problems, not outsiders doing it, right? So the idea is to train up the teachers and they can do it, but they've always found it difficult to deliver a sort of a content-heavy curriculum, plus you've always got the challenges of making it culturally appropriate. Yeah. And so, you know, we found that oftentimes, like, the teachers are doing a great job, like, by rewriting lots of it and making it work for their kids. And, you know, no one knows better than their kids. So we're trying to move away from that. Yeah. And something that, you know, has always been, you know, sitting in my mind is, you know, the idea of the project-based learning and going, you know, what would it look like if a school had no subject? Like, there's no walls separating the learning and the silos of information and stuff. It's all part of it. And so, that's what I want to try and design is some kind of framework for the kids there to be working on projects and setting challenges for themselves and finding out the information that they need to solve those challenges as and when they need it, which just creates that that meaning and the student agency, you know, that whole, you know, hopefully it really comes together.
Yeah.
I'm really keen.
Yeah, it's super exciting. And, like, I don't know what it is, but lately I've sort of come to the conclusion about the creativeness of Cambodian people as well. Maybe I can find a little affinity between Kiwis and Cambodians, not because I'm creative, but just we call it the number eight wired sort of mentality of you have a problem and you need to fix a problem and you'll use whatever's around you to fix that problem and make it work. And, like, you cruise around Cambodia and there's such creative solutions to problems around, and I think that it would really, I don't know, an outsider's perspective, but I feel like it would sit really nicely to support those communities to keep building on that sort of ethos, I guess. So, I'm excited for you as well. And
totally, yeah.
To hear how it goes and to see the results.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Just on that, like, idea of solving problems and stuff. Yeah. You know, in the days of working in the volunteers and working in different NGOs and stuff like that, you see so many times, like, an initiative from an outside something that's been dropped in, like a well or a building that's been made by someone without fully understanding what they actually needed, and it just gets abandoned or never used because it's just not quite right. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's gotta come from within. Yeah. And so, you know, I think there's no one better to sort of set the country right than the Cambodian people themselves. Yeah. So yeah, that's the goal here.
That's a nice little check ourselves as well on that whole idea of, like, you can't just have an idea for an innovation to bring into the classroom and just expect you can plonk it in and that's got to work. You've really got to
absolutely
think about the people who this is going to service and that. So it's a really interesting thought to maybe end on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think we've gone from our short little back to school episode to quite a substantial episode. So. But it's been a good one.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it, and hopefully the listeners out there will too.
Yeah, and you know, we've set up a whole bunch of really great topics. You did a bit of work on the holidays that we're pretty keen to get into. We're looking at assessment of skills coming up, right? But I'd be pretty keen to hear from listeners on topics if they've got anything out there.
Yeah, that'd be super awesome. So let us know. Risky Business is our Twitter handle.
Or you might be more inclined to pronounce that as Risky Business Ed. Oh. But we like the former.
Yeah.
Twitter and email.
Yeah. Totally. That's riskybusinesseducation@gmail.com. So hit us up and we'd love to hear from you. Choice.
Choice.
Nice one.